B-Pod Studios.
That's an app. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I think this ESPN story really makes LeBron James look worse than he already did a couple of days ago. He didn't just take a pass. That's the thing that sticks out to me. He didn't just say it's not a topic I care to speak about. He decided to come out and admonish Daryl Morey for what he did, which I think is the thing that's most disappointing.
Use the word uneducated on it.
And say that he was wrong to do what he did, yeah. Which to me is the unacceptable part of this, to come out and accuse him of being uneducated and accuse him of being wrong for doing what he did. And so that to me is the part that's more than just saying it's a topic I don't care to speak on. It's a topic that I'm going to take a pass on. It's not just him taking a pass. It's him shouting down and saying someone else shouldn't be talking about it, which I think that's taking it too far, man. That is taking it way too far. So, to go further on this topic and to tell you what this ESPN story says about what is played out behind the scenes, what was playing out behind the scenes in China, Adam Silver met with players in China in the ordinary setting. The commissioner laid out the extraordinary situation, spending 10 to 15 minutes, according to a source, appearing vulnerable and transparent as he detailed the issues and challenges facing the league. He expressed to the players that the best thing for the league would be for the Nets and Lakers to become ambassadors for the sport, to show a positive front, face the questions that would come from the throng of nearly 200 reporters that were set to descend upon the hotel in hours. One of the league's core values is freedom of expression, Silver said. It's what you guys stand for. And to not speak could lead to criticism for staying silent. Silver opened the floor. LeBron James, raised his hand. His question was related to Daryl Morey and the commissioner's handling of the Rockets GM. James, to paraphrase, told Silver that he knew that if a player had caused the same type of uproar with something he had said or tweeted, the player wouldn't be able to skate on it, that there would be some type of repercussion. So James wanted to know what Silver was going to do about it in Morey's case. LeBron James asked the commissioner of the league, how are you going to punish Daryl Morey? He needs to be punished. LeBron James wanted the commissioner of the league to punish Daryl Morey. That's what he wanted. And wanted to know what the commissioner was going to do about it.
And if that's not true, he should get out and say it now. And he's not saying it.
Silver then pushed back, reminding the players that the league never doled out discipline for when they publicly criticized President Donald Trump, and that Morey was exercising the same liberty when he challenged China. Regardless of the financial fallout of one versus the other, that's not what should matter, said Silver. Silver may have disliked the ramifications of Morey's tweet, but he would defend the right to say it. But James wasn't finished. Morey wasn't there to answer questions, he countered. Silver hadn't spoken to the media in China either. Why would this fall on the players to address? That's not a bad point. If LeBron's saying, listen, I didn't create this problem. I didn't create this stir over here. Why are you sticking me out there to answer all the... Why aren't you talking to the media? Why isn't Daryl Morey talking to the media? Why do I have to answer for him? That I don't totally disagree
with. It's kind of the face of the league.
Like, this all just happened. Why is it on me to answer the questions about him? You should be answering the questions about him. He should be answering the questions about him. That I don't disagree with, but that's not the point that's sort of being debated here. LeBron had a week plus to come up with what he was going to say, and he decided to come out and go after Morey, which I find it disgusting. A Nets source said, obviously, when LeBron James speaks up, people pay attention. Kyrie Irving, here's his role in the story. Ooh. Kyrie Irving, according to sources, who was a source who was in the room, says that Kyrie Irving questioned whether it was worth playing the games in such a charged environment. He said he was there to play basketball games and if a requirement for those games was dealing with the fallout of the tweet that he would rather not play at all. After about 30 minutes, Silver and others exited the room to allow for a players-only meeting, and once the others were gone, the players worked to find a consensus. James told the room that he wanted both teams in total agreement on how they would approach the rest of the trip. His instinct was to shield his colleagues from a nearly impossible public relations chasm. So I get it. Like, he feels like they're put in a bad spot over there. So maybe they were. Obviously they were. That's not an easy thing to deal with, considering there's hundreds of reporters. This all is a big story there.
I could see his point more than LeBron's. Like, he said, hey, okay, then, like, if this is an issue, like, what if it's even a safety issue? Who knows how this crowd's going to react over here? Well, then let's get the hell out of here.
And there was no availability to players or anyone, and even Silver, he never did anything over there either. Once they left Japan, was my understanding, he never talked again. They had games without interviews, which, not the worst thing, I suppose, but it was just an odd timing. And
how petty is that? How are you going to punish him?
Oh my God!
You need to punish him, Adam.
Yeah.
How are you? Well, if this was me, you'd punish me. You need to punish Daryl Morey, dude. As angry as he was
a year ago when he was told to just go dribble.
Are you? How fraudulent are you?
Yeah, that's bad.
How fraudulent are you as a person?
Yeah, he tried to send some clarification tweets.
Those are just as bad.
Oh yeah, it just got deeper.
Oh, they were transparent, I mean, and not in a good way.
He doesn't recover from this one from a PR standpoint. And, you know, he's near the end of his
career. Bunch of nonsense he was spewing the other night.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's spiritually.
They kept asking him, too. Like, what?
Emotionally, spiritually.
Expound upon it. No, it's just in my head. This is the way I feel. This is what I think without expounding upon it. Like, he couldn't tell you. Just what I believe.
It was greedy and un-American.
It was bad. It was bad. And you know what? I just don't understand how you can't connect all the other things that the league has tried to be positive on and all the other initiatives that you mentioned, Dan, that they've tried to sort of do and take up and causes that they've gotten behind. How can you take any of those things seriously when they don't go for the most basic of human rights here?
It's over.
Like, hey, we believe in the freedom of expression and, the right not to be oppressed by an oppressive government. Like, If you're not on board with that, how do we take any of these other things seriously that you've been behind?
The record will forever show that when the rubber meets the road, they were not there.
We believe in human rights, but only domestically.
Yeah.
What? What is that?
We don't want to offend anybody over there. And if, you know what? I understand. You know, if you don't want to,
we believe in rights for people, but only when it doesn't impact our wallets. Yeah.
Now, the whole world can't stop doing business with China. And that's an issue for individual countries, individual corporations, whatever. But once China starts dictating the things you can and cannot do, then you have to make the decision. And the NBA has made theirs, and the players have made theirs, and LeBron has made his.
And it's one thing to just say, I'm going to take a pass because I've got business interests, and I'm going to take the pass. Yeah. And we can all sit there and say, yeah, you're taking the pass because you're a coward.
This went over and above
right?
that.
Right. Oh, you take the pass. You've got all kinds of, thoughts and opinions, and then you take the pass on this one because your money's more important to you. It's another thing to not only just not take the pass, like Steve Kerr did. He took the hard pass. LeBron took it a step further. LeBron kept going.
He was proactive.
LeBron took the pass and then put down anyone who was willing to say what they were feeling on the matter, which was simply just say, I believe in democracy. That was too much for LeBron. Oh, now you're messing with my money, is what he said. Now you're messing with all of our money.
And it's weird. It's like,
and
LeBron,
we can't tolerate you. In fact, I want our boss to punish you because how dare you stand for that?
And it's weird because LeBron took it off Kerr, too. Like, Kerr's like, well, I need to get more educated on this. And he kept pounding that. And he kind of had that deer in the headlights look. And then LeBron used the word.
It's a cop-out, too.
Well, he's not educated. Yeah. If you're Morey, he's not educated on it. Like, LeBron can't even come up with his own stuff.
That's a cop-out these days for anyone who just doesn't want to involve themselves. It's a cop-out.
It was weak. Kerr was weak.
That's becoming pretty apparent.
Yep.
That's the cop-out. I'm just on it. Well, really, it's not. I get it. It's hard to be educated on every world issue out there. There's a lot of things out there. This one, it's
pretty simple.
I mean, I get it. You may not know every single detail or understand all of the history there, or understand all of it. I get it. But are you pro-democracy or are you in favor of, communist governments that want to take away the rights of a democratic society with the right to free expression? What do you think? Which side would you generally fall on, Steve? Which side do you generally come down on?
You can't answer that question.
How much education are you going to need to come up with an answer to that one? It's not that hard of a question. You don't need to get that educated to figure that one out.
Nope.
So It's a cop-out, and a lot of people are going to use that. 617-779-0985, the telephone number for you. Here's the action update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Who's this, Dan?
George Michael.
Jesus Christ.
No?
Well, he's dead too, this guy. You killed George.
Did kill him.
This is Prince.
Prince. Oh, I knew that. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, you know you did.
Couple answers on things. According to Yahoo Sports, if all the business in China falls apart for the NBA, the salary cap could go down next year by 10 to 15%.
Boo-hoo.
So that's a considerable number for the league.
Yeah.
For sure. That is. I wouldn't say that's a small number. That almost makes me want to go out and celebrate communism. Almost, if I'm an NBA player. That almost makes you want to go defend communism.
You could be like LeBron. Have your own Chairman Mao shirt.
Yeah, you might as well. Yeah, no. Hooray, communism. That's wonderful.
You see Portnoy selling his shirt.
That's wonderful.
Right, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
LeBron James in the NBA. will become communist for a price. That's what it is. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. That's one item. Also, email from Russ in Marina Bay, who says, wondering if it's even worth playing the game in China. Is typical Kyrie Irving, the typical Kyrie Irving we got to know so well last year in Boston. He was always more willing to run away, open a wound, and point a finger than to take the role as a leader and positively communicate and motivate to bring a controversy to a close. Isn't that kind of like what is that? Why are we even playing the game then? Let's go home. Let's leave and go home. Why are we even doing this? I'm not playing the game here. I'm not here to figure this thing out. Not my mess. Not my problem. Let's go home. 617-779-0985. Chris is in Boston. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Beetle.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, so yesterday, usually I think you're the voice of reason, but yesterday you went on for 2 or 3 minutes about how great a guy LeBron James was.
Yes, and?
And part of that argument you based on his charitable donations. So I want to educate you on some of his charitable donations. First of all, his foundation is, there's an I Promise scholarship program, right? His foundation gave $40 million to that, which is attributed to LeBron James. From what I've read in articles, the Akron public school system is going to pay 75% of that $40 million. So I think my point is, I think you're giving him too much credit for his charitable endeavors.
It could be. I heard something. Okay. I heard some stuff.
Criticism of LeBron over the last 2 days wasn't enough for Chris. He wants me to also say that he's not charitable.
I don't think that's fair.
I think he does try to do the right thing.
God, don't you hate people like that?
Yeah.
I've been kicking the crap out of LeBron for 2 days. Yeah. I give him all the credit, though, for what he has done. But no, you can't do that either. You also must find a way to discredit that as well, because you have not been extreme enough in your criticism.
I mean,
we live in an all or nothing world. You must go all or nothing.
Yeah,
it's not enough to kick the absolute crap out of LeBron for 2 days and give the full scope of his history.
Let's not diminish the charitable work that he does.
No, I mean, I think it's a credit to him, because he is sort of that Michael Jackson type figure where, You've had it since day one. He was crowned the king at what, 14 years old? The whole AAU circuit? I mean, they had to move his high school games to put him on TV. He knew what he was going to do. He was never going to go to college. He was going right to the NBA. But for him not to turn his back and to actually want to live in Akron and do nice things there,
yep,
it's tough when you're handed everything.
LeBron has given away millions of dollars of his own money to charity. That is a fact. He's done that. He's given away millions of dollars. It's millions of dollars more than many of the guys that he has played with. It's millions of dollars more than many of the guys that played before him. He's one of the more charitable guys that the NBA has had in a very long time. So let's at least not take that away from him.
Yep.
We don't need to take that away from him to be critical of him for his comments 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Both things can be true. He can be charitable and also have said some things that I find very disappointing and borderline disgusting 2 days ago. Both can be true. We don't have to retroactively, oh, no, actually, his charity is fraudulent. I've been reading a number of articles on the internet. Come on. Matt's in the car. Hey, Matt, what's up?
Hey, guys. I don't think this opinion was formulated from scrolling through Akron Times articles, so I'll try to keep that. Whatever. Hey, I just had a good historical data point I wanted to share with you guys, and I don't know why the heck I remember this, but back in the early 2000s, when Yao Ming got drafted, okay, I vividly remember me and my buddy went to Asian American Night at the Garden, okay? If you remember, it was a theme night. It was a theme promotion night.
All right.
And here's Yao Ming, freak of nature, 7 feet tall, can shoot the rock. And we had Legends passes, and we were watching him walk out onto the court, and there was this swarm of media. And I think that's really where, you know, the Chinese influence probably started, because name another Chinese-born player, really, you know, before Yao Ming's time, right? And so that really seemed to open up the market. And I remember reading an article, and correct me if I'm wrong, but at one point, the influence of the Houston Rockets, specifically in China, was so drastic. Guess who the number one selling jersey was in 2006, 5 years into Yao Ming's career? You guys know who it was?
I'd love to know. Who was it?
It was Tracy McGrady.
Well, that would make sense. That would sort of make. Okay, I mean, he was a guy who would sell jerseys domestically, though. People like Tracy McGrady. He's good.
But the point being is basketball became such a big thing in China back in the early 2000s that it wasn't even Yao Ming that was the favorite player on the team. And here we are 20 years later. I just have to wonder, you know, this coming from this guy Morey. Look, I've been watching it from afar, but at the end of the day, that's got to be some kind of historical data point in his brain. He knows his team's influence in that country. And this moron LeBron is trying to say he's uninformed or needs to do his research. I got a pretty good feeling that the GM of the Rockets knows how important his team has been to you know, that culture going back 20 years now. And it's just so ignorant to call him out for something that you probably don't even have. LeBron's the one who's uninformed at the end of the day.
I would also assume that Daryl Morey, even if he, after the fact, took it back because his bosses were pissed, Daryl Morey had to have known that there was going to be fallout, right?
I mean, sure.
Dude, we haven't talked much about this.
Not like this.
Not like this, though.
Really?
If this was GM of the Nuggets, this wouldn't be as big a story.
Yeah.
He had to have known.
Not like this, Beetle. He didn't know it was going to be this kind of a bleep show. No way. He would not have done that.
Right. That he was going to get some brushback or blowback from someone, somewhere?
He underestimated the magnitude of, and again, the Chinese.
Who would think that putting out a pro-democracy, like a pro thing like that would get this type of backlash?
The Chinese way overreacted to this thing anyway. Easy for me to say.
Oh, like they always do.
But, sorry.
What do you expect?
Yes. I mean, so anticipating that sort of overreaction and this sort of global, you know, storm, I just don't think he was mindful. Oh, I think I'll create this.
Imagine if you doubled down on Morey and you backed him like LeBron has and how is in line with all his other thinking, and you say, you know, we're getting the hell out of here. Imagine how many shoes and stuff he would sell over there. Like, it would go the other way for him. And now it's gone the complete opposite as to what he had planned. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, yeah, I believe in what Morey said. Absolutely. No. You don't want us to play here? We're out. Go out. But the people would still be a fan of him and you know, buy his shoes, watch his movies, watch Space Jam, action movies. Heck yeah.
Dan is in Waltham. Hi, Dan.
Hey.
Hey.
I like the figure you just got me with that with the 10 to 15% because that was going to be more dramatic. But I was just trying to compare, you know, you guys. I mean, I know Zoe is Captain America over there. He likes himself some America. And
what are you driving, a tractor? You got that low rumble.
I think my reefer's running right now. I'm just chilling in the truck on lunch break, so I'm sorry about that. I'll put my window up.
Oh, no, you're good.
I'll give a little toot if you want. Let's give a little toot. All right.
Nice.
just made so I was just trying to so
say,
happy.
Let's say you guys love freedom of speech, too, and maybe one of your bosses tweeted something out, and you didn't know that 10 to 15% of your salary came from China. All of a sudden, do you believe in your morals? Zoe, you're going to take a 10 to 15% pay cut just to be patriotic? I don't know. It's got some of the guys, not LeBron, but some of the guys probably are sitting there like, man, I just want to.
No, but when you're as outspoken as he has been on this topic.
Correct. I mean, yeah, specifically to LeBron, yes, you're right. But some of the players, I guarantee, are saying, Jesus, come on, man. Like, I'm just trying to make some money, play some basketball.
I get that. I understand that. But
LeBron, I don't like LeBron. But I'm not defending him. But
let's just say that if you want to make that comparison, let's say that, you know, pick anyone. Tony Maserati had tweeted out that he supported democracy and freedom, and he stands for the freedom of speech. I would then not come on the air and say, yeah, he needs to apologize. Tony Maz needs to educate himself.
I say Maz is dumb.
That's the comp, and that would be outrageous.
That's your
and
comp.
Embarrassing.
That's a hell of a comp.
Right.
You're right. That's your comp.
If the station got...
Why the hell would I do that?
If the station were relying on McDonald's for, you know, 50% of all the money that we earn, and Maz went on and tweeted out, Big Macs suck. It's like, Maz, don't be an idiot.
Not a Big Mac.
You know, but he's talking about something that everybody is in support of, or at least should be in support of in this country, and we would hope around the world. He didn't say anything wrong. He didn't say anything that, yes, I suppose technically it's an opinion, but you're talking about what we hold as inalienable human rights. And the fact that now other guys have a problem with it, it's so blatantly and obviously about the money. It's just about the money. When it comes down to it, you wish it were something more, but no, that's it. It's just about the money.
A little lighter note coming up next. We've got Dan's dates. Looking forward to that. And then Brad Stevens.
Oh, God.
Coming up at 12:50.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right. Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
All right, time for Dan's Dates. It's October 16th today. In a segment early, Dan's sticking around to talk to the head coach of the Celtics, Brad Stevens.
Oh, you
will
are?
Join us next segment.
Yeah, you're not getting paid extra.
This is so we're no for overtime today.
You think he's listening in?
He might be. Hell, he might be.
Be at the top of my day.
Hey guys,
let's go. Hey guys.
Hey guys. it makes me so nervous.
Today is October 16th. Again, best time of the year, best month of the year, middle of it. Crisp.
You couldn't be
there.
Any more wrong. July
leaves,
is the best.
The turning.
No, couldn't be
God,
any more wrong.
I love
wrong.
This. I love this. October 16th, birthdays. Angela Lansbury is not a million, but close. Anybody want to?
She's still alive.
88.
Thank you. Who's dead?
Angela Lansbury.
No, she's still alive.
She lives.
She would be someone you put right in that game of dead or alive.
Yeah.
Like, I'd go dead every time.
Candidate.
Oh,
she's 94 today.
I thought you meant M.
Nope. Tim McCarver is 78 today.
No, dead or alive. So.
Suzanne Summers, 73. That's Three's Company, right?
Yeah.
Dan she Summers. Does the...
She still look good?
She does that...
Because she's always been one of those people that looks great, no matter her age.
Yeah. She does that leg thing.
Yeah, Thighmaster.
Thighmaster.
Okay. Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead is 72 today.
Looks every day of it.
He used to come to Celtic practice back in the day.
Oh, when, I'm sure he did.
Yeah, yeah, when Bill Walton was there.
I'm sure everybody knew 86. It, too. Look at... Hey, yeah. There's Bob Weir.
Bob Weir looks okay for his age. He doesn't look that old. He just has
a beard.
He
doesn't know what he looks like.
I don't know what Bob Weir looks like.
Mickey Hart would also come to practice, the two of them. They were friends of Bill's.
Odd combination.
Yeah, he's the drummer, right?
Oh, I was thinking of Mickey Dolenz. No.
That's good. Well, I'm counting on you for some stuff here. How old do you guys think Tim Robbins is? Shawshank, Andy Dufresne.
Ooh, I'm guessing 58?
Yeah, if I
late 50s, right around, approaching 57. 60.
57.
Approaching 60, we'll go 58.
Andy Dufresne is 61 years old.
That Andy, he aged 5 years.
Was it you who pointed out the flaw in how many football fields he crawled through?
Three football. Must have crawled the length.
I think of that every time now.
Yeah, 500 yards. Crawl through nearly siege. 3/4 of a mile. No, it's not.
That's...
Or nearly half. I'll find out exactly what it is, but it's way off.
Artie, you may know this. You may know this person. It's the bassist for the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh yeah, Flea. Yeah.
Who is Flea?
Oh, he's crazy, a virtuoso bassist.
Now that's really somebody you would know at Celtic practice.
Yeah. Okay. How old do you think he is? Because I don't know this individual.
He's probably
late 50s.
Two.
56. I'll go 58 going, on him, too.
He's 57. It's right in the middle.
Split 80.
Split the difference right there. Wendy Wilson is 50 years old. She would be the daughter of Brian Wilson in Wilson Phillips.
Oh my God, I love their music.
Yeah, I did too. They were underrated.
500 yards. That's the length of 5 football fields, just shy of half a mile. No, it's not. No.
Yeah.
That's 1,500 feet.
Half mile is 880.
Yeah.
880 yards.
That's right.
Yeah, old days. Old track days.
I used to run the 880. Sucked. Awful race. Terrible race.
John Mayer is 42. Singer, guitarist.
This is from Bridesmaids. So,
yeah. Really underrated.
It is.
Do you know who the other singers are?
Carney.
Very good.
And
they are the daughters of Brian Wilson.
Yep.
And then who's Phillips?
Bijou Phillips.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, from Mamas and the Papas.
Yes, yes.
The daughter of John Phillips.
Yeah.
From Mamas and the Papas, right? Yeah. Isn't
nailed
that the
it.
Deal?
Yeah.
John Mayer, 42 today?
Yeah.
Friend of mine.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Wow. Sort of.
It's like me and Stills.
I met him a couple of times.
Yeah, I turn us up and put the radio.
Let me carry his guitar down. Wow.
What is her name? Something Phillips. What is it?
Come on.
I don't have that. The stuff that happened on October 16th, you can just keep playing that. I like that better. This is a big day for Marie Antoinette. She was beheaded on this day.
Marie Antoinette,
1793, during the French Revolution.
China Phillips.
Queen of France. Really?
Yes.
China Phillips.
China.
Yeah.
Wow.
Appropriate.
I should have China. Known that. I'm so mad I didn't know that.
Which one was the...
But she's not a comic.
Which one was the heavy one?
That was the big boned one.
Show.
Yeah.
She was Carney. She had the talk show.
Okay.
They're all a little thick.
Yeah. Other stuff that happened on October 16th. In 1859... Radical abolitionist John Brown led a group of 21 men in a raid on Harper's Ferry. Many were killed, including 10 of Brown's men.
John Brown's body lies a-moldering in the grave, but his soul goes marching on.
It's from?
It's a verse from Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Remember the Titans.
That really?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's good. I should know that. Okay, on this date in 1901, Booker T. Washington dined at the White House as the guest of President Theodore Roosevelt. And it was controversial because
went on to form Booker T and the MGs.
Time is tight was their best tune.
Shouldn't have a rock guy in the White House with Teddy.
I challenge you to come up with Time is Tight behind the glass there. Booker T and the MGs. You'll recognize it if you hear
that
it.
That kid?
I challenge you.
I'm just telling you.
Commander.
Kyle Van Noy already challenged it once, so it's a day to be challenged behind the glass. On this date in 1916, Planned Parenthood began in New York City. Brooklyn, New York.
Mm-hmm.
The first birth control clinic, the early days.
We know what it is.
On this date in 1962, the Cuba Missile Crisis began as President Kennedy was informed of reconnaissance photos had been revealed the presence of missiles in Cuba. Who knows?
Should have made a better movie about it.
Who knows what the tell was with those reconnaissance photos? What made them realize that there were Soviets down below in Cuba?
No idea.
There were soccer fields on the sites where they were putting the missiles. The Cubans do not play soccer. They play baseball. So these guys were playing soccer in their lunch breaks and then going football. Back down underground to have the missile bases down there. That was the tell.
Wow.
That's a little bit of trivia that not many know. Good one. On this date in 1968, this is huge. Again, in the light of LeBron's ridiculous couple of days here, on this date, the Mexico City Olympics, Tommy Smith and John Carlos sparked controversy by giving the Black Power salutes during a medal ceremony after they'd won gold and bronze in the 200-meter race. in Mexico City.
You know, I heard they had thought twice about that because they were worried about maybe their endorsement deals or what their sneaker contracts were going to be after doing that. And then they thought, you know what? Ah, we'll sacrifice the cash. Let's do it.
They were sent home. Harry Edwards was organizing a lot of the black athletes over there, and these two were sent home after meddling. And now there's a statue. I'm not sure where the statue is. I think they were Santa Monica Track Club, but there's a statue somewhere out there that is dedicated to those guys.
I think in hindsight, they were happy they went the way they did.
A little civil disobedience, a little speaking out. They could not have done that had the Olympics been in Beijing, I'm submitting. On this date, ooh, bad one here, Luby's Cafeteria in Killeen, Texas. The gunman opened fire, killing 23, 1991.
That's a bad one.
It was sort of the precursor of these horrible things. On this date in 1969, the New York Mets completed the World Series beating.
Won it in Game 5, Orioles. Right?
Meet the Mets.
Game 5. Very good, so.
Meet the Mets.
Yeah, 5-3.
Almost tore that stadium down.
They were down 3-0 in that game, and what great movie was made off of that? Hardy, Frequency. You know that. Dennis Quaid.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I
Dennis
do know
Quaid,
that
underrated
one, yeah.
film.
Yep.
On this date in 1964, the pilot episode of Gilligan's Island was made, which, of course, you know, years later is... still goes on.
I never understood how they're like so smart, you know, especially with the professor and they build all that stuff.
Yeah.
Never been brought up before.
Can't get off the damn island.
He was very
all
inventive,
right?
Yeah. Everything except that. And last but not least, on this date, oh boy, it would be 16 years ago today. Play it.
I'll tell you, they were 5 outs away in the 8th inning, leading by 3 as Boone hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series. Boone, a hero in Game 7.
Sorry.
My brother-in-law went catatonic for 2 weeks. We never talked to him. He's dead somewhere.
They tried to fire Grady in mid-inning, the inning before.
Oh, God.
Brad Stevens is coming up next. Jerk.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
First, our introduction.
Zolak. Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Carson Edwards pulls up and gets the three right back, drilling it over Martin. Turn to Edwards. Fires a deep three. 4 in a row for Carson Edwards. Poirier for Edwards. Crazy deep three. Got another one. Finds Edwards. Edwards gets behind the screen. Launches again. Hits again. 7 threes for Carson Edwards.
Paycheck.
Here comes that man again. Carson Edwards. Crazy deep three. Got it.
Jesus Christ. I didn't mean to say that about you, Lord, but my goodness.
Woo. Long cross court. Grant Williams is open. He's going to put it to the floor and find Carson Edwards for another three. His 9th of the game, his 8th of the quarter. And the Celtics lead by 22.
Carson Edwards lit it up last night. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. And for the first time this season, welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. It's Brad Stevens joining us on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Coach. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
You missed us, didn't you?
What's that? I did miss you.
You liar. Hey, Carson Edwards, hey, you said you've never seen anything like that. You've seen a lot of good shooters in your coaching days, going back to college, the pros. Nobody ever shot like that.
I'm just talking 8 threes in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just insane. And where he was shooting from, you know, it looked like a run, you know, that happens maybe once a year from somebody. Obviously Golden State's had a few of those with Thompson and Curry, but I don't know if anybody's ever hit 8 in 5 minutes, and I've certainly never sat there and watched it in person. And you know, I thought the best part about it was he struggled in the first half, and it looked like it was kind of going to be one of those nights where it wasn't his night. And, you know, he got hit across the face in the first half, had a nosebleed and came out, and then, you know, struggled, missed some shots, missed some easy opportunities, got knocked around a little bit, and then bang, went nuts. So it's good to have that ability. You know, obviously when you shoot nine threes, if you hit three of them, that's good. If you hit four of them, it's really good. If you hit five of them, it's great. When you hit eight, you know, it's pretty special in that short amount of time.
Brad, I remember when we were talking to you at this time a year ago, you were sort of frustrated with where things were at as the team was coming together and getting ready for the season. It feels like things are in a much better place at this time this year than where things were at this time last year. Is that a good assessment or bad assessment of where things are at?
Well, at the end of the day, you know, the preseason games don't matter from the standpoint of, you know, you don't get any points for winning a preseason game. Nor do you get any points taken away for losing a preseason game, you know, when they start to figure out who's in the playoffs and who isn't. But I do think that this team, the guys that are back, the new guys have, you know, really put a huge emphasis on being as good as we can be every day, not having days where we don't get better, and making sure that, you know, that standard continues regardless of who's on the court. You know, we've been really lucky here over the last 5 years to have been in the playoffs. And in most cases, you know, not always, but in most cases when we're missing players, we don't look much different. And that's because, you know, people just plug in and play to their strengths and do what they do what they're best at and play hard on the defensive end of the floor. And so it's encouraging that this team has adopted that mentality. And, you know, we know that the real games start next week, and you know, the way that our schedule starts out, we just have to not worry about the results just like we did in the preseason and just play as hard as we can and move on one after another and just try to get better.
Brad, Dan Shaughnessy here. You referenced the defensive end of the floor, and I'm just wondering, with the losses of Baines, Morris, Al Horford, is that a challenge to take care of the defense down low?
Well, I think anytime, you know, in this league, you've got to be able to physically hold your ground and hold your own. We think that the strength of our defense is in our bigs' ability to move their feet. You know, especially when you're talking about a Tyson and Williams and guys like that, they can protect the rim on drives downhill, but they can also be out there and move their feet. But I think the real strength in what we've tried to really hammer on is if we don't play with ball pressure as a team, then, you know, all the athleticism and speed that we have at the 1 through 4, you know, don't matter much, because ultimately it gets broken down, the other team gets too deep, and then it becomes just a, you know, a strength battle. So I think being able to pressure the ball appropriately, you know, obviously Kimba's not going to pick up 94 feet, but being able to push offenses out, make them operate a little bit higher for a little bit longer, you know, make every catch a little bit tougher, to disrupt a rhythm to it, I think is really important. You know, everybody's going to talk about our post defense, and rightfully so. And I think a lot of times, Dan, you'll be able to judge our post defense by how much pressure we're putting on the post passer. And so the guy that's guarding the post will have to work just as hard, but the guy that's guarding the ball has to make sure that he's doing his part to make that catch a little tougher too. And that's what I did not like how we played the first game of the preseason. We've really tried to make that an emphasis in the last week. And to our guys' credit, I mean, everything that we've done thus far, the guys have really worked. You know, nothing guaranteed result wise, but they've really worked. And so it's been a fun group to be around.
Coach, you had a couple players came to a football game a couple weeks ago, and Taco was with them. And when he entered the building and came out on the field, it was like a clown on circus stilts. Like, sorry to say it that way, but the amount of energy with this guy in a room, does that permeate through your team? Do you guys feel that in practice and games? I know people have written about the Garden going nuts when he gets in a game and when he scores.
I mean, it was funny. We left a lot of our starters back. Are all of our starters back yesterday,
right,
and a couple of others. And I said, as long as we have Taco, everybody's still glad to see us. You know, everybody wants to see Taco.
It's unbelievable. I never see anything like it. I mean,
so, well, we can rest everybody, but as long as Taco's playing, we're good. No, the biggest thing for me has been, I hope that people appreciate how good of a person he is, how smart he is, and how hard he's working to try to make the NBA. And they don't get caught up in the wow factor of his size, as you mentioned. It is unique. I mean, it's different. But he is as humble and as gracious a person as I've been around. And so it's really, you know, one of the things that I think within these walls, when the doors are closed, people get energy from that. They don't get energy from everybody staring at how tall he is. But it is, you know, it is a little bit unique. I told him the other day, I said, hey, I'm sure that it's awkward for you and me when the whole crowd is chanting for you to go in, whether it's home or on the road. And we still have other guys that are on our full-time roster that we need to make sure we get minutes for. So, but he's handled everything great.
He has fast become a fan favorite. It's been an overnight sensation for him. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, in my house, too.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, your son, is that
the kids love him.
My daughter. Well, my daughter, she's got taco mania. So,
you have Taco Tuesdays at the Stevens?
I think we usually do more than one day a week, but anyways, we're huge fans, but more so, I think, because now they've gotten a chance to, you know, they're lucky kids. They get a chance to sit down with him over dinner and talk to him about important stuff and, you know, where he grew up and where he went to school and why he's been such a great student all the way through and all the other cool stuff about him that has nothing to do with his size.
We're talking with Celtics head coach Brad Stevens. Once again this year, you've got some new players to your roster, an important one in Kemba Walker. How is he sort of fit in, and how's that transition going as you add him into the mix?
Yeah, he's been great. I thought he made a real conscious effort to get here and get acclimated ASAP after USA Basketball. He came right from China to Boston. And so he was in, you know, from September 15th through the start of training camp on October 1st. You know, he obviously took some time off his legs because that was really important. But he was in here and getting treatment, eventually working out, and just getting used to his surroundings. I think too many guys change places and change teams and show up on the, you know, a couple days before training camp and you're still like getting used to where you live and the traffic patterns and everything else. And he just has, gotten acclimated very quickly. He is very much a guy that's focused on winning and focused on all the little things it takes. He's
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.